Good morning, everybody. Welcome to BluePower.com. Today is June the 26th. It's the day of silence for American webcasters all across the United States. Today is a great day because sitting right in front of me, I have a great friend of mine, a true blue American music man, Mr. Harvey Cooper. How you doing, Harvey?
Hi, John.
All right.
It's been a while.
Harvey was president of 20th Century Fox Records, vice president of RCA Records, vice president of Bell Columbia Pictures, and vice president of EMI Haven Records. A man we really want to talk to today about what's going on in the music business in America. Hang tight, we'll be right back with you. Harvey Cooper, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, John. I'm terrific, man. I mean, going into my sixth decade of the record business.
That's right. We've known each other since 1965 in Detroit.
That's right.
And that was a mighty good time. Mighty good time.
I loved it every minute.
Well, Harvey and I have been talking, and we had lunch yesterday, and I asked Harvey, I said, Harvey, what is happening to the American record business? I'm going to call it the record business instead of the music business, because I like that.
I prefer that.
But Harvey said, well, you know, let's sit down and talk about it. I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it on mic. And so here we are today at BluePower.com. So what is happening, or what has happened, to the record business?
Well, it seems like a big mystery to everybody else, but the veterans of the business. I think we know darn well what happened to the record business. You know, it's under very bad management, period.
Isn't that true? Well, you know, I don't know. I've been out of it for a while.
Well, I know. I'm telling you, it's under bad management.
It's under bad management. When you say bad management, what do you mean by that?
I mean that these businesses are run, these corporations, by people who should not be in those seats. They don't know. They don't have a great understanding about the entire MO of a business.
Yeah.
We call them suits.
Yeah.
Too many suits in the business.
Yeah. And my dog agrees with you. You can tell, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, this business is all in any business. You know,
yeah.
a lot of people would like to romanticize this business.
Yeah.
It's just a business. It's about making stuff and selling it, period.
That's right. Of course, you know, the artist wants to think it's a little different than that.
Good. Maybe we'll arrest them for loitering in front of a microphone.
Well, arrest them for loitering in front of a microphone. That's one of Harvey's lines I love. Harvey, your career has taken you up and down and all over the place. You've made a lot of records yourself. You've created a lot of product. You've run companies that created a lot of product and a lot of hits. What do you say was really the bottom line in all that?
Well, there's no question. I mean, you don't have to wonder about it. It's the goods.
Yeah.
You have to have the goods. You have to have the goods. And probably one of the great, great examples of what we're talking about is Motown Records.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Motown, to this day, you know, has the goods. They don't even have to have humans run the process on a daily basis. They call up and they get a license to do their music.
That's it.
40 years later, you know, that publishing company is still making millions of dollars a quarter.
Joe Betts still rocks.
Yeah, and they don't have any of the original artists left, and they haven't had for many years.
Yeah. But they have the songs.
And they had the worst, you know, they had terrible management through the years. But you know what? It forgave all of the mistakes because they had the guts.
They had the talent.
The great talent.
They had great talent and they had great songwriters.
And it was produced and they were prepared. They developed them. When they had a hit record, they were ready to go out and perform it.
Exactly.
And sound as good as it did on the record.
Absolutely. I remember those days.
I'm still pulling at my cufflinks like, you know, the rest of those, all those groups.
And your shark skin suit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I mean, there have been a lot of mistakes made. There have been a lot of accountants put in positions that were creative positions,
right,
and they really had no idea what to do.
Right.
There were a lot of people put in charge of the companies that had no idea about the artist or no idea about how the creative process worked. And I feel that perhaps they just made product and threw it up against the wall to see if it would stick. Now, I've done that myself. I did that a lot. I mean, nobody really knew in the old days what was going to get played and what could be successful. So we worked the product, we made it, we went in the studio, and then put it out, and then worked it again.
Well, the difference between then and now is that then we had a level playing field.
Yeah.
There were literally, when we started out, you and I, John, there were literally hundreds, maybe even 1,000 very healthy independent record companies.
That's right.
Listen, that ain't going to happen anymore. Now we're talking where corporations now own it. They finally got to this position. And they've killed creativity.
Well, they bought all those independent companies,
well,
too.
Well, listen, you know, let's start with the radio. You know, no average guy is going to get played on the radio. You got to go through their process, and there's a certain power loop. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, these third party marketing groups are doing business with other third marketing groups.
Yeah.
You know what it is. I mean, come on, that's not a level playing field. But it's controlling. The record companies know all about this, and they've had their hands slapped recently.
Yeah.
Along with radio stations. What about the Sherman antitrust laws? Smashed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the years ago, you could only own 7 radio stations nationally, and not in the same market.
And TV stations.
Today, anything goes. 2,200 stations by a syndicate. Come on, man.
I know.
I've had people tell me on the radio, hey, I don't play independent records. I said, what did you say, sir? I said, you don't tell that to a professional. I know that that's against the law. I know that the people own the airwaves.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to play my record? Well, they're going to play it now because I exposed them.
Yeah.
But I got Lunar Rotation, of course.
Yeah, Lunar. You know what I mean? In the midnight hour.
Yeah, but I'd love to tell them, you know, I like to give them a little heat, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a big problem.
Sure it is.
Not everybody in those days. Remember, we used to go up into the studio and say, hey, man, the DJ, I got a hot record.
That's right.
And he'd say to you, John, can you wait till I take this one off the turntable? Oh, okay.
That's right. But that's the way it used to work. Come on, wait till I finish playing this one. Or let me put this one on the turntable and I'll listen over here.
Correct.
Yeah. No, those were great days, no doubt about it.
And I can tell you, I mean, from an economic point of view, I mean, I know what I made as president. I made less than $100,000 a year as a president of a corporation.
Yeah.
Today, that same guy is making $2-3 million. Okay?
What's wrong?
He has no incentive to do well.
That's true. Why should
he? He has 2 years back to back. He doesn't need anybody anymore. It's over.
Yeah.
And then he tells his rubber stamp. See, the part that gets me are these rubber stamp boards.
Yeah.
They're supposed to say, oh, gee whiz, we're not doing well. What do you think the problem is? Now the guy says, hey, look, you're getting $175,000 a year to be on the board. Shut up. Or get somebody else. So what's the incentive for them to do well? They have a couple of good years back to back. They get one more job, it's over. Career's over.
Yeah, but they can retire at that
exactly.
point. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's very wrong. No incentive. And then they let a bunch of college kids beat them up economically.
Yeah.
With the internet
situation.
Explain
that.
Well, I mean, stealing of copyrights. They call it sharing, but we know that's stealing of copyrights.
Yeah.
And you know what? They weren't stopped. They didn't think it was a serious matter, these people who were running companies. And 30 years later, it probably dawned on them, oh, wait a minute, let's do something about this. We're losing money.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it now. I mean, they've missed the point because the new radio really is coming off the net. Because the net of the people who are playing the independent artists.
That's okay. Right.
People want to hear new product and new artists. And there are no radio stations anymore breaking records.
Well, the terrestrial stations, you know, radio stations today are all automated, syndicated, corporated.
That's
and
true.
That sounds like it. You know, there's no. In other words, the radio doesn't have a minor league like they once had.
Yeah.
Guys coming up, personalities
Remember
coming up.
Remember the great jocks in Detroit, Gary Stevens.
All I over mean, the country.
Yeah, everywhere. The Gita with the heater.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Blavitt.
Joey Reynolds.
Joey Reynolds.
Maniac.
Yeah, the Maniac.
Yeah, these guys had, these guys were characters.
Joey's still on the air, by the way, but in New York on a talk station, he's number one.
I know.
After midnight. So he's...
And this is the guy that occupied my guest room for 6 months.
That's right.
I had to throw him the hell out of
him. Well, you know, I miss those guys.
Of course.
And I miss their rap and all their insanity on the radio. One of the things today, too, that I hear a great deal about is the fact that there's so much advertising, you know, on radio. And it goes for TV, too, that a lot of the young people are not listening. They're not tuning in. Just they hate the advertising. Blah, 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 talking heads all the time. 4 or 5 medical ads in a row for the same thing, you know. Penis enlargement and enhancement and yada, 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 yada. It's degrading.
Well, I mean, like I say, they're not developing personalities.
Yeah.
I think that's what's missing in radio today.
And record companies aren't developing artists either.
Right. And I want to make one point. I want to go back just a minute or two about copyrights, you know. This business has not been good guardians of copyrights, and it's evidenced by those kids letting them share, you know, those copyrights all these years.
File sharing,
yeah. And I'll give you one really bright example of what I mean. Everybody at that point should have taken the tack that Disney does. You know, you mess with Mickey Mouse, they'll close you down.
Yeah.
That's what kind of guardianship they have about their copyrights.
Yeah.
They don't care who you are. If you're a student or you own a corporation, I'll shut you down, you mess with Mickey.
That's right. Don't change Mickey's ears.
So what do we do about it, folks? Exactly what Disney does. Get after it.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Yeah.
They'll get the message sooner or later.
Well, now, you know, artists have had a great deal to play in what's happened, okay? Artists make a lot of mistakes, mainly because they don't know. They pay attention to what they're writing, who they are, what they're performing, yada, yada. In your estimation, are some of the mistakes that artists make?
Well, I think that a lot of artists don't understand that this is a business.
Yeah.
And they should run their careers based on the fact that it is a business.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other thing is that none of them that I know of, especially new talent, ever tries to evaluate their level of talent at a point in time.
Yeah.
It's very important, because if you want to get somewhere, you better know where you stand and what you have to do to get there.
Yeah.
So that's another mistake that's made. And it's so easily rectified. You know, there are professionals right there locally where you are. There's radio people, there's people in retail, there's distributors, radio promotion guys, people who run studios, people who know talent.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are people who know how to sell talent, and I guess, you know, from a distributing standpoint, radio stations should know what to play that their audience is going to like. I'm not too sure that they often do today. There's just not the caliber of people who loved the music business or the record industry that we did when we got into it.
John, you can only react to what you're exposed to.
That's true.
You know, in all due respect, I mean, you know, you listen on the radio and you have to listen to what they're playing you. You know, you don't have any other resource.
That's true.
So that's why people go to the internet. They don't play a lot of new music.
That's
they only
right.
play proven music or music that is sponsored by major corporations.
People want to hear new music.
And they will.
And they will. And they'll go to the net to get it.
And they will find a way.
They will find a way. That's what is so marvelous about the internet. You know, I've heard some people say, well, it's the death of entertainment as we know it. And it is the life of entertainment as we want it. And I can understand the paradigm, the old paradigm, the disc, the plastic that we used to make and sell, is definitely a thing of the past. But the difference between a record and a CD was that people would not copy the record. They would make a cassette, but it was right. It was hard, it was long, it was tedious. Nothing like sticking a CD in and push the burn button to burn the whole thing.
Right.
Okay, but it's still a copy. I don't care what anybody says. The quality, there is a quality loss. But you know, you mentioned, just to backtrack a little bit, we were talking outside, and Harvey was talking about how the record business used to operate and how people were promoted from within. They were trained, they were taught. For instance, when I went to work for Bill Lowry at NRC Studios, in my first gig in Atlanta, Georgia, which was 1960-61, I went in to be an engineer. I engineered a few sessions, and then after about a month, Cotton Carrier, who was running the studio at that time, said, John, we want you to go down to the pressing plant for a couple of weeks. I said, the pressing plant? What for? We want you to learn how records are made. So you're going to go down there and work a steam table.
That's right.
And a press for a couple of weeks, which I did. Right. I loved it. It was amazing to me. I had no idea how this thing worked, but that was part of the training.
Of course.
You know, and there doesn't seem to be that anymore. It seems like you can go to college, get a degree, and bingo, you're in the music business. You know?
Yeah, well, that's what I said earlier. I mean, when you and I were on the street promoting records, you know, we didn't know we were doing the job of 12 different people that do today. I mean, we knew about public relations because we went to the media, all of the media.
Yeah.
Television, radio, print. We went to all of the retail outlets, wholesale outlets. We knew the buyers intimately. We knew what it took, you know, to get a record off the ground and how many records each place had to have, who had to be informed about it. We went to all the radio stations. Not just one, you know, not one, just one formula music. All of them.
All of them.
Country, classic, pop.
That's right.
We had quite an education, plus the people, plus the folks that were coming in.
Yeah.
You know, great artists, great producers, great writers. We were a family. We were a family of music professionals all over this country. I don't care where you went in this country.
Yeah.
They would welcome you. You would get to meet with everybody, understand what was going on at a point in time, and on to the next city. And it was a wonderful education.
Great experience. Great experience.
Great experience. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And all these characters that you met.
Oh.
It was like the circus came to town every day.
That's right. It was amazing. It was truly amazing. It was a great, great time, and it has totally changed. It's become totally corporate, you know, very, very stiff, and I couldn't deal with it.
It's money. I mean, we got to protect against this arrogance of power and money. It's the same thing, you know, we're no different than any other businesses in this country. It just reflects the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that, I know that. I mean, everything that comes down in the music industry, we get it first from society.
Yeah.
10 years later, you'll see it appear in the suburbs. Yeah. Remember when the punk movement was happening?
Yeah.
You know, with the spiked hair and the tattoos, and you know, 30 years later, you were seeing, you know, Joe Blow in the, you know, in the suburbs. You know, now with spiked hair.
Correct.
You know what I mean? You don't see white belts and shoes anymore.
Yeah. That's true.
You see tattoos in the
well, I
and
tell you,
piercings, you know.
Oh yeah, forget that. I told my kids, you come home pierced, you won't come home the second day.
Well, yeah, my son, I remember him saying, "Well, Dad, can I get earrings?" He was about 13. He says, "Absolutely, son." And I said, "And I want you to get a dress that matches." I want you to be careful about that.
You're a sick man.
Taste is important.
That's right. Well, I tell you what. I mean, now that we've gone and raped and pillaged the new music industry, do you have any ideas for changing that? What's the real bottom line?
Bottom line is the talent itself, and the patience, and the fortitude, the guts, and to take the time. I mean, one of the most important things you can practice in the music industry is knowing talent. Knowing talent is the major talent.
Yeah.
You know, on one hand, how many guys have picked talent over the years, over time, that were consistently good at picking talent? That's a talent.
It is a talent.
I know major producers, you know, who wouldn't know talent if it hit them in the head. But if you brought in a known group and gave them a bunch of songs, they'd go in the studio and they would give you a top-notch job of production. But that didn't mean that they knew talent.
Just finding it in the wild would be difficult.
Hey, man, there's so much talent out there, it's ridiculous. And you and I, remember I called you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I said, John, I want you to go to
go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube and look up Paul Potts.
Which I did.
Which you did. A frumpy little guy in England, in Cardiff, Wales.
Yeah.
On Britain Has Talent, and Simon Cowell was there. You know, the same format. And he said to this frumpy little guy, "What do you do?" He says, "I sing opera."
And the look.
Chubby little guy with bad teeth and no hair, and short little guy, you know. And he said, "Well, we're ready when you are." So he had to sing to a track, obviously.
Yeah.
So the track starts swelling up, and Pavarotti comes out of this guy.
It was amazing to watch the audience, the reaction.
How many hits, John?
Huh?
In one day, how many hits?
Over a million hits.
Over a million hits.
Yeah,
in
one day.
Okay. In one day, this guy changed the music world.
That's true.
Okay. And his life. Why? Because he has real talent, and people want him to win. They love him.
Yeah.
Those two,
he's
the combination.
One of the people. He's not something that's been selected because it's beautiful.
Right.
And put up there because and has mediocre.
The
talent.
Difference is that it's genuine. This is pure.
Yes.
From the heart. The most powerful weapon in this universe is goodness.
Yeah.
And talent. And when you see it, you don't have to be a scientist to figure it out. Those people welled up. I cried like a baby when I heard this guy.
Me too. I couldn't believe it.
That's why I called you. I said, "John, we got to talk about this. Bring us back to, you know, talent."
Exactly.
I'll tell you what. I'll issue you a challenge right now. I'll bet that you and I and your listeners can find major talent to turn on this world in the next 6 months. I guarantee you that we can do this.
You think so? Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'd be willing to try. That's a nice challenge.
Well, from this day forward, I'm gonna start looking for stuff. I want to play it for your audience.
Okay.
I want them to respond. Matter of fact, I want them to send in artists that they think will have impact, that people will love, that are talented, and that will live for the next two or three decades, you know? Send it to us. Let's hear it. We'll give it a shot.
That's marvelous. That's a great
idea. And between the three of us, I guarantee you, we'll find a major talent in 6 months.
Maybe two
That's
or
my
three.
Challenge.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, heck yeah. I bet we can do it.
Real talent.
Yeah, I was turned down by this Paul Potts guy. I mean, it just reminded me again. Oh, man, there it is. You know, it's real. You know, it's real. People love it. I loved it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And opera.
Yeah.
Of all the, you know, of all the categories of music.
Who cares? I mean, what color you are, what culture you are, where you come from, you know. It doesn't matter what country you're from or what you speak.
He had real talent.
It is the international language.
Exactly. In any language, it doesn't make any
difference.
Let me
feel something, baby.
Precisely. Precisely. Yeah. Well, that's a challenge that I would like to see all of us at Blue Power here accept.
Well, the next time I come here, I'm going to have stuff for you to hear and your listeners to hear. And I'm asking them right now.
Send it.
Send it, baby. I want to hear it.
I will put the address on the front page of this program.
Yes.
That people can send.
Let's do it.
One piece?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you really have to feel in your heart of hearts that this is a major talent, will have impact.
Yeah.
And send it to us.
Exactly. And we will listen to it, and we will pick some people and put them up. We'll do another show, and we will put them up.
Respond.
And let you respond to it.
And you know what? And if we like it well enough, we might even record it.
Exactly. Exactly. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Heck yeah.
Go in and do it the way it used to be done.
It can be done, John. You know it can be.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, this is John Reese at BluePower.com. We've been talking to Mr. Harvey Cooper. Harvey, you got anything else that you would like to expound upon before we leave today?
Yeah, one thing.
Yeah?
Do you validate parking here?
Oops, today is Tuesday. Which side of the street did you park on?
I knew I would. Well, listen, you can't win every day.
I don't want you to get a ticket. I'm serious as a heart attack.
Okay, thanks.
So listen, now that we've solved the American music industry's woes here, and I do agree with Harvey a great deal about what he said, because I've witnessed it myself. I watched it. I remember it in the early days when it was a thrill a minute, where you woke up every day, you felt good to be alive, you had a handful of great pieces of product to go out and get people to play, and it was a real challenge to do that. Today, that just doesn't happen anymore. They go in with lots of money.
Well, sometimes it happens, I mean, in spite of itself. I mean, when Norah Jones came along,
that's
nobody
true.
Knew what the hell that was.
Yeah.
People just responded.
They just loved it.
It wasn't obvious.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. The record company didn't know what they had.
True.
People responded, and that's all that's necessary. It doesn't matter what the A&R guy at Sony thinks.
True.
It doesn't matter what George W. thinks.
That's right.
It matters what those folks out there think, period.
It's the people
right.
that listen to the music,
correct.
That respond and purchase it, that like it.
Exactly.
And that's you folks out there in Blue Power Land. Want to thank you very much, Harvey, for coming by.
Oh, my pleasure. You'll see me again, man. I'm serious about this.
Absolutely.
I'm coming in with some stuff.
I will let you know when pieces of material start to arrive.
Good.
And we will start going through it. And we will let you listen to it, and you will tell us what you think. I think that's a marvelous idea.
Yeah, I can't wait.
When I'll put this show up in a couple of days. So as soon as this goes up, there will be on the front page the address where you can send product and a brief synopsis of what we have
right,
talked about
exactly.
today. So this is John Reese at BluePower.com. We're signing off for today. Today is the radio a day of radio silence for the webcasters. It's June the 26th. I want to mark this date because in a couple of months, Harvey and I are going to be back here with some new and wonderfully gifted people to play for you. So everybody take care of yourself. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.